Dear friends, good evening. Thank you so much for joining us this evening so that we can have a nice conversation about this phenomenal Gnostic lab for practical application that we have in store for you today. And this is called the Rune Fa. Rune Fa is part of Samael's book, of the many books. He wrote this one in the year 1968, and this is called The Occult Treatise on Rune Magic. And this is one of those intermediate advanced level books. And you know this when you see it, because he takes you from one topic onto the next one. And as you read the book the first time, you are hoping to see continuity between one chapter and the other. But in reality, you cannot connect them. And that is because when Samael gives us all of this information, he really needs us to take it and bring it into an exercise of meditation so that we can integrate it deep within the consciousness. So look, tonight we are going to speak about this phenomenal magic with the Rune Fa. And in his book, The Occult Treatise of Rune Magic, Samael starts by saying, the solar fire is certainly what is needed so that we can do. It is the solar fire what is needed so that we can develop within each and every one of ourselves that thing called availability for the real man. So you see, this is kind of an advanced book. When the Master Samael shares this with us, he is telling us, we need of this sacred fire so that we can effectively break away from the cycles of the law of return and recurrence. That way, the moment that we break our connection to the wheel of samsara, the wheel of becoming, or the Bhava Chakra of the Buddhist tradition, the moment that we disconnect ourselves from the mechanical cycles of the wheel of samsara, we are then received by a superior law that is known as the law of epigenesis. And the law of epigenesis is a law that corresponds to the being, not to us. Because the law of epigenesis is the one that enables and that allows for the creation of new things. If we, in the condition that we find ourselves today, were able to make use of the faculty of the law of epigenesis, we would be surrounded by unbelievable chaos. Nobody would be poor. Everybody would be rich, beautiful, gorgeous, desirable, etc., etc., etc. Because all of the egos that we carry within would immediately grab hold of that faculty and they would exploit it to the most of their ability. So you see, solar fire is what is necessary. But the fact is that there are many different kinds of fire. Blavatsky, in her phenomenal works, particularly in her writings around the secret doctrine, she makes a reference in one of her paragraphs to a statement that says, the chaos of the ancients. This is how she refers to the concept of fire, as the chaos of the elders or the chaos of the ancient ones. That chaos that Blavatsky refers to, she is speaking about the flames of Pentecost that emanate from the heads of the apostles. She is making a reference there to that halo of light that is resplendent around the head of all the saints and the angels and all of the great masters. She is speaking about this sacred fire that is known as the fire of Zoroaster. This fire as well is the Atash Benran de los Parshis. So when Samael speaks about sacred fire, he says, it is prudent that we give ourselves a moment and we mention the vaporous flames from the Oracle of Delphi, the sidereal light of the Gnostics, that we speak of the Akash, that we speak of the astral light of Eliphas Levi. He brings so many different examples of fire that for all of us in general are for the most part unknown. And he does this because in many instances that he is sharing his writings and that he is giving his lectures, he is not just giving this information to us. As a matter of fact, in one of the many lectures that he offered in a hall, he found himself speaking and suddenly he notices that most of the audience is looking at him perplexed, and he knows that they are wondering, what is this man talking about? And he stopped his lecture and he sincerely apologized and he said, dear ladies and gentlemen, I understand that you don't comprehend these particular concepts, but at this moment, we are speaking to those ineffable gods that are sitting here amongst us. So you see, not only he does this, but in his writings and as much as the writings of all of the initiatic books, they are all written in characters of fire. So for all practical purposes, as part of the work that we do, we need to fecundate our human nature, that intimate aspect of our human nature, if it is that we truly are seeking to eventually achieve that phenomenal thing that is known as the second birth, which is the emergence of the solar man within each and every one of us. And for us to awaken our consciousness, well, we know that it is absolutely necessary that we need to start by knowing ourselves. The thing is that with the many demands of life in these days, with the tremendous amount of inferior influences that we're constantly exposed, with the state in which our mind and our emotions find themselves today, sometimes we are just exhausted. It has been so difficult to be able to maintain that awareness and that remembrance of self, and we have become so conditioned to be tense and reacting to the external impulses that come from left and right, to and fro, that when it comes to the time needed for our spiritual practice, for the most part, we get there just with a little bit of energy available. And we have in our hands this particular room so that we can effectively infuse the body, not only with prana, which is the fire of the fire. Prana is the breath of life itself. But that we can also see transmutation of our sexual creative energies so that we can make of this energy available at the beginning of the day and at the end of the day before we unfold in our astral body so that we can effectively get there with material, with enough fuel for us to be able to work. In the ancient Hindi traditions, Samael tells us the old Hatha yogis, he says, they speak a lot about Kundalini. And they believe that they can awaken Kundalini strictly through breathing exercises and some other complicated and difficult physical practices. Samael clarifies that for us. And he says, we the Gnostics We know that this serpent of bronze that used to heal the Israelites in the desert, this divine princess of love, only awakens and climbs up the center channel of our spinal medulla through the practice of Maituna. But then he says, but make no mistake, we should never underestimate the power of the practice of pranayama. And when it comes to pranayama, which is an exercise that is asking of us to harness of these creative energies, because as a matter of fact, the word pranayama, if we translate it just very roughly, it means the harnessing of the winds. The exercises of rune magic become for us something very akin to the judo of the spirit. So when we involve ourselves with the practice of rune magic, we set ourselves in a very auspicious and favorable condition to awaken the consciousness. Because when we are doing rune magic, whether it is the rune Fa, or the rune Dorn, or Thorn, or the rune Bar, or the rune R, etc., etc., we will notice that in each one of these runes, there is always an exercise of pranayama, which is a breathing practice, that will always invite you to inhale through your nose and to exhale through your mouth. The reason that happens is because in our subtle constitution, within the vital body itself and the physical body, we have two channels that are of a semi-ethereal, semi-physical nature. These two channels are two serpents that are entwined up our spine, and eventually they reach up to the head and they end up in our nostrils. The channel that connects to the left nostril corresponds with the right testicle and is of a solar nature. The channel that connects to the right nostril corresponds to the left testicle, and it is of a lunar nature. And in the women, well, the one from the left nostril corresponds to the right ovary, and the one from the right nostril corresponds to the left ovary. So there is an intimate relationship between our sexual gonads and the process of breathing. And every time we inhale through the nose, consciously, because it has to be a conscious effort, we are effectively allowing for the sublimation, the transmutation of our creative waters. I don't want to say sublimation because I don't want to bring in the concept of the transition from solid to gas. We don't want to create any confusion. But here we see the transmutation of our sexual creative waters. And we see the solar atoms coming in from one direction, the lunar atoms coming in from another direction, all the way up to what is known in esoteric science as the chalice of the brain. Chalice because it is meant to receive, you see? And when we inhale through the nose and we start allowing for that transmutation, the flow of the solar and the lunar atoms together right there at the very base of the spine, they start generating a force of induction. And that force of induction starts awakening the fire of Kundalini. It does not light the fire, but it allows the faculties of Kundalini to liberate sparks. And those sparks are very powerful. Just because they are sparks, we should not just say, yeah, they're just sparks. Because as a matter of fact, all that we have incarnated from our own spirit is the spark of the consciousness. And the consciousness is tremendously powerful. It is just that it is asleep. So when it comes to these practices of pranayama, we will always find them in every single rune exercise that we do. There will always be some degree of transmutation. But in addition to that, there will always be some kind of prayer. There will also be meditation. And there will also be some sort of sacred posture. some sort of mudra, positions of hands and positions of feet, that in addition to highlighting the sacredness of each posture, well, they allow the body to be set in certain ways so that as we receive those energies that are coming from below, those energies that come from the organism that is planet Earth, and we receive those through the feet, well, that we receive them in some way, and as we receive those currents that come from the cosmos, well, that we receive them in another way, and that those energies can then be adequately combined within the human machine so that we can return to the cosmos digested energies from the planet, and that we can feed the planet fresh energies from the cosmos itself. This is a beautiful arrangement. This is a marvelous symbiosis. And when we engage in the practice of the Runfa, we put ourselves in a condition in which we can get a lot of benefit from all of these exercises. And friends, the practice that we are looking at bringing to use today is strictly assuming this posture. Now again, we must be very emphatic about this. Every exercise that we do in any one of our Gnostic labs, just as every action that you should be taking throughout the day, should be an action, an exercise that is done with conscious effort. When we bring in conscious effort, we break away from the mechanicity of life. So when we see this posture, well, we can see that this is a man standing with his left hand slightly higher than his right hand. If for one reason or another, your body would not allow you for your left one to be higher than the right one, unlikely, but if for one reason or another that were not possible, well, then there is no problem. You can then bring them both the same. And if for one reason or another we happen to be missing a limb, that should not hold us back from doing this practice. Because then we should make effort of our objective imagination, which is the faculty of clairvoyance, and unite it in vibrant harmony to our willpower. Friends, when I am saying our, speaking about the consciousness. And we will see ourselves with our healthy limbs receiving these energies from the cosmos as we are intended to receive them. Because what is important, again, is that we bring about a conscious effort. We could have the most perfect posture, but if while we are breathing, reciting a prayer, we are thinking about something else, then it does nothing for us. Because when it comes to gnosis, we always take out of gnosis as much as we bring into it. So when we bring conscious effort, the exercises become very, very fruitful. So to do this practice, Master Samael tells us, we must greet the Christ Son every morning with immense happiness. We should get out of bed and we should immediately raise our arms towards the Christ Son. And with all that happiness, we must salute it. To do that, we assume this sacred posture of the Runfa. Notice that in this room, we stand essentially at attention, and then we raise our arms. This is the sacred posture of the Runfa. Samael tells us, this is the method in order for us to work with pranayama, by inhaling the air through the nose and exhaling it through the mouth. We are bringing as much energy possible inboard and up, and we exhale gently through the mouth. And Samael tells us, let us imagine in those instants that the light of the Sun Christ penetrates within us through the fingers of our hands. So as we are standing towards the sun with our arms, the left one a little higher than the right, with our palms facing the sun, we will then use our objective imagination to see the light of the sun, Christ, penetrating through our fingers, inundating our hands, circulating down our arms, all the way up, flooding our body with this energy, saturating the organism, and penetrating deep into every fiber, muscle, organ, tissue, ligament, tendon, bone, and beyond that, into every molecule and into every atom and into every subatomic particle. As you make the effort to see this happen, you do yourself a marvelous favor, because you start occupying the mind in things that are edifying and dignifying for the consciousness. When you make an effort to make this effort of being capable of apply that willpower and combine it with that objective visualization, you deprive the mind the ability to go and wander around thinking about the upcoming things for the day and the plans and is it late or is it early and all of these other distractions that are just keeping us in this state of latency without making much progress. But Samael also says, at night, listen, at night, in those divine and mysterious nights, practice with this very same runic judo, with this very same runic judo, and stand before the starry sky of Urania. So go outside at night, and assuming this very same posture, raise your hands up to the heavens and recite this prayer. You will say, and your homework is to memorize this, you will say, marvelous forces of love, enliven my sacred fire so that my consciousness may awaken. And in that posture, with your hands still extended towards the night sky, you breathe in through your nose and you chant the mantras Fa, Fe, Fi, Fo, Fu. We start with the mantra Fa, because that letter A not only vibrates the chakras of the lungs, it takes your thymus gland and it invites the thymus gland to initiate vibrating before all the others. See, you're addressing this one first. Not that it was not vibrating, but it seeks to bring harmony into the thymus gland first. And this is super important, because we're dealing here with a doctrine that is an inherent doctrine of the heart. We then go from Fa to Fe. Fe, because Fe allows for the vibration of the creative larynx. It is the chakra that we have in our creative larynx, the one that grants us the faculty of the magical ear, so that here, within the physical body, we can hear the music and the teachings and everything that we must listen to from those higher realms of creation. Then it says Fi. It goes all the way up to the chakras of the head, namely the third eye chakra, which is known as the chakra Ajna, and then the crown chakra that is known as Sahasrara, and invites those chakras to vibrate in harmony as well. Because these chakras not only give us the faculty of omniscience, they give us the faculty of seeing what the eyes of the flesh cannot perceive. Then we descend to the chakra of the heart, and we chant Fo. This allows Anahata to vibrate harmoniously, because it is in the heart where we find the key to awaken the faculties of imagination, inspiration, and intuition, critical in a path of initiation. And last, we chant the mantra Fu. And Fu is associated with the solar plexus. Remember that your solar plexus is roughly three fingers above the navel. And these organs in the solar plexus, well, in there you have the foundation of your vital body in your spleen, and you have the foundation of your ethereal body in your liver, and your solar plexus is your telepathic center. So you can see how this sequence starts inviting the harmonious vibration of all of these centers. Now that I have said this, everywhere my insignificant person has gone, the practice of the Runfa has always been done the same, whether during the day or during the night. The posture is the same, and whether the sun is shining or you're standing outside enjoying the beauty and the majesty of the heavens, the prayer is chanted and the mantras are chanted. For the sake of convention, so that we do not start doing things different, and that we invite others to then be shocked and judge and criticize, because ultimately we would become responsible for their reactions, we are going to continue doing exactly that. In the morning, as you wake up, you can raise up from your bed and you can stand facing the east, raising your hands towards the sun, breathing and visualizing that you are inundating your physicality with all of this solar christic energy. And after breathing for a good while, you chant this prayer, "Marvelous forces of love, and live in my sacred fire so that my consciousness may awaken." And you chant the mantras, fa, fe, fi, fo, fu, dedicating a complete lung inflation to every syllable. And when you do it at night, well, evidently, the rays of the sun are not present, but we just reach out towards the heavens of Urania. And we recite this prayer, and we chant the mantras. You may feel tired as you do this exercise, and that is okay. Remember, what is important is that we bring in conscious effort. So if your arms are getting tired after chanting fa for 20 seconds, just let them drop. Shake them so that your blood flows. Raise them once again. Breathe in. Chant fe. After the 15, 20 seconds that you chant fe, if you need another break, just get your hands down and shake them, so that the blood flows and that you recover so that you can do it once again. Don't overstrain yourself. Because the moment that you strain, you bring tension to the body. And the moment we start adding tension to the body, we start losing our ability to listen. Again, we need of a conscious effort. So let's go ahead and let's do what is meant to be our practice for tonight. The Master Samaya has told us, in the runes, we find pranayama. We know about the breathing exercise. Prayer. We have the prayer right here. Meditation. And certain sacred posture. What we will do is that we will chant this rune for a few minutes. And after we're done, we will come back and we will sit. We will take advantage of that relaxation. We will close our eyes. And we will do a brief meditation, and that will bring our Gnostic lab of this Thursday to an end. Very well? Okay. So to start, it is always a good idea for us to start with our body relaxed. So now that you're sitting there comfortably, let's go ahead and set our feet flat on the floor, and let's go ahead and close our eyes. Let's take a deep breath in one. Two. One. Two. 1. Let's go ahead and let's make ourselves aware of what is our emotional state. Whether we feel happy and joyful, content, or whether we feel a little indifferent, or sad, or frustrated, it does not matter. What is important is that we become aware of our emotional state. Because as we become sentinels of our own mind, and knowing that our thoughts always precede our emotions, when we are aware of our emotional state, it becomes a little easier to observe and capture those thoughts. It becomes a little easier to understand from which of the five cylinders of the human machine those thoughts are being projected. That means that whether we are happy, sad, or indifferent, our purpose is only to make ourselves aware of our emotional state. It's not to judge it, not to justify it. Certainly not to hide it. There will always be distractions, as part of our exercise today. Allow us to invite you to use your objective imagination and your willpower together. As you make use of these two in harmony, we will invite you to see yourself as transparent. From within that silhouette that you would recognize as your body, as you see it transparent, allow it to be colored with a very faint hue of blue. And this is very useful, because if any other distractions were to emerge around us, in this new condition of transparency, it would be so easy to allow any distractions to flow through, and for those distractions to receive no resistance. To simply flow through and not create any alteration in our internal state of relaxation. And in much gratefulness for this new opportunity, with the internal joy that comes from knowing that we have before us a new moment, a new practice, an opportunity for a new experience. We invoke of our Divine Father by saying, Father of mine, God of mine, you who are my true being, you who are my internal God, we ask of you and we beg of you with our soul and our heart that you invoke for us, that you bring into our bodies our previous state of relaxation. And with that, we take a deep breath in one. Two. And with that exhalation, we allow the body just to sink a little deeper onto that chair, onto that sofa. And we will continue by saying, Divine Father, we offer you this practice. Let it be you who performs the posture. Let it be you the one who elevates to the heavens this prayer. Let it be you the one who intones these five mantras and allow us to receive of these cosmic energies and please deposit them deep within our consciousness. We ask of this in your holy name. So be it. And now maintaining this remembrance of self, let's go ahead and stand up. Stand up and face towards the east. As we face towards the east, we stand with our feet close together. If at all possible, allow your heels to touch. If that were not possible, then allow your feet to be comfortably spread apart. And we will raise our hands, the left one, higher than the right one. And as we continue to breathe in through our nose, out through our nose, seeing our bodies as transparent, posing no resistance to any potential distraction, we take a deep breath in and we say, marvelous forces of love, enliven my sacred fire so that my consciousness may awaken. those of you who may need a little break, you may lower your arms and shake them. Release any tension from your shoulders and your neck. And once we're ready, we raise our arms again. We take a deep breath and we say, marvelous forces of love, enliven my sacred fire so that my consciousness may awaken. Lower your arms and shake them. Release any tension that may have accumulated in your shoulders or in your neck, in your back. And as we recover, we take another deep breath. We raise our hands. Marvelous forces of love, enliven my sacred fire so that my consciousness may awaken. Relax your arms. With every inhalation, allow that your exhalation dissolves and carries away any tension that may accumulate in your body. And once again, we take a deep breath and we raise our arms. Marvelous forces of love, enliven my sacred fire so that my consciousness may awaken. Fire.
Allow your arms to rest. Once again, raise our arms. Marvelous forces of love, enliven my sacred fires so that my consciousness may awaken. Raise our arms. Marvelous forces of love, enliven my sacred fires so that my consciousness may awaken. Feel. So we make ourselves ready for one last time. With every inhalation, we express our gratitude and our gratefulness for this new opportunity. With every inhalation, we express our satisfaction for this new moment. With every exhalation, we allow our consciousness to expand. And we raise our arms one last time. And we take a deep breath. Marvelous forces of love, enliven my sacred fire so that my consciousness may awaken. Very well. And every time after we are done with any exercise of rune magic or any other esoteric practice, we will always close with the sacred Theos. We will start by tracing the sign of the cross. We're going to make a change here for you. It becomes more visible. We start with the sign of the cross from the forehead to the heart, the left shoulder, and the right shoulder. So in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We will then trace the sign of the microcosmic star. From this position of attention, we open our legs and we spread our arms to either side. In this posture, we are assuming the shape of a five-pointed star. We will bring our hands up to the heavens, and we will bring our hands down onto our shoulders as if we were bringing from the heavens a blessing. We will extend our arms to the side, and then we will allow our arms to just drop, and as they trace the arc, we bring our feet together, and we have our end up with our right hand over the left hand. So let's do those two together again. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. By the Almighty and Powerful. And from here, starting at the top of our forehead, we trace a circle and we say, Tetragrammaton. We will then extend our index finger and we will trace the sigil of the rune Sig that looks like a lightning, chanting the mantra S. And this brings an end to our practice with the rune Fa. So, dear friends, this has been our Gnostic Lab of today, Thursday,
March 18th. Hopefully you have enjoyed it. Remember, this is a practice that we do in the morning and that we do in the evening. It helps us charge ourselves with this Christic energy so that we can have all of that extra oomph during the day to maintain that remembrance of self. And at night, so that we can become more capable of remaining conscious while in the astral plane. Dear friends, this has been our practice on the Room Fa. Thank you very much for being with us here this evening, and may all beings be happy. Thank you.